Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey. We are days away from finishing 2020. Can you believe it? How many of you would raise your hand and say, I am so ready for this year to be over? I totally get that. And yet, even in a year, or maybe I should say, especially in a year like 2020, I think it's still very, very important for us to take a gaze back over the course of this year, to think about, even in the midst of the hard and the challenge and trial after trial, that we still saw the hand of God at work. And so I want to encourage you right now, but also in the coming days before this year comes to a close, get some space, take a sheet of paper out, take a walk, sit down, whatever it might be, and reflect on how you've seen God at work in your life, even in 2020. In fact, I think it's so important to do that I've asked Lindsay and Will to join me in reflecting and remembering all that God has done this year. And for me, I know there was life before March the 7th, but it kind of starts for me right there. So it's late Saturday night, Lindsay, March the 7th. You and I were on a phone call. The reason Will was not on the phone call, we didn't leave him out. Will was on an airplane at the time. Will, if you had been home, it would have been one of our more than 500 phone calls that the three of us were on collectively this year. But Lindsay and I were talking, trying to make a decision. Like, do we cancel in-person gatherings for the next morning? And you and I thought, based on the little bit of information we had, we prayed like one of those quick prayers because we had to make a fast decision less than 12 hours before the first Sunday morning gathering. And we decided it would be in our best interest and in the best interest of our community that we're called to lead and care for to not meet on Sunday, March 8th. But Lindsay, making that decision, that was huge, it felt at the moment. But did you think that we would go the rest of 2020 without getting the chance to meet in person?
I very much remember that Saturday night conversation. And if you had told me then that we would not meet again this year, there is no way I would have believed you. I thought 2, maybe 4 weeks at the most. And obviously, you know, I was wrong there. But not only did we move all of our Sunday gatherings online at that time, but we moved all of our Epic groups online as well. And so our leaders did an incredible job of taking their in-person courses and groups right in the middle of a session, picking them up and moving them onto Zoom. And from the spring to the summer to the fall, we've actually been able to increase and add the amount of group offerings that we have available. And it's been incredible to see more people consistently showing up to their group every single week than we've ever seen before. And so that's been really awesome. But groups is not the only new strategy that we've had to implement since the pandemic hit.
No, not at all. I remember those conversations once I landed, and we felt strongly like, how is our community going to go through this? How are they feeling? How are they who's going to lose their job? And man, we just felt that weight, that responsibility in a good way. Like, we need to make sure that we reach out to everyone. And within days, we were able to call, text, and at least try to reach everyone, about 1,000 people, which is crazy. And we couldn't do that alone, but sure, we enlisted our frontline team leaders to step in and call. And early on, we were calling every week, then every 2 weeks, and the frequency kind of went down a little bit as we started to wrap our hands a little bit more around what we were dealing with. But what I love is that even until this day, we are still asking every week during the gatherings, hey, how are you doing? Is there anything that you need? And how can we pray for you? Because we care, and we should not go through this thing alone.
Yeah, it was incredibly inspiring to see us. I think, Will, it was 4 days, the very first 4 days of COVID, we connected with around 1,000 people. Yep. And again, we had help doing that. Mm-hmm. But while we started that process, simultaneously, we launched the COVID Relief Fund. And we just knew even the little bit. We didn't know everything we know now, but we knew people are going to be negatively affected, especially in terms of their finances, and we wanted to go ahead and pave the way so that as those needs arose, we would be able to meet those needs, and sure enough, those needs did arise. But if I were to ask you, and you don't have to do this at home or wherever you're watching from today, but if I were to ask you, like, you know, how many of you were able to give to the COVID relief fund? So many of you would raise your hand. And then if I asked the church right now, like how many of you were able to receive from the COVID relief fund? Again, so many of you would raise your hand. And guys, this is the purpose of the church. Some of us have certain gifts. Others of us have needs. And we go back and forth and you never know where you're going to wind up. But you guys, like $137,000 has been given to the COVID relief fund so far. And we are helping, just so you know, I know many of you are recipients, but we are helping people with their rent support, medical bills, everyday things like groceries, home supplies, counseling services. And just it's just been a huge blessing, Lindsay, to see us be able to take care of our church through the generosity of this same church.
Yes, and not only have we been able to care for our Epic community, but we have been able to generously give extra money to support our strategic partners who are doing great work to care for people in our city and all over the world. We've also been able to start some new partnerships like Open Door Legal and Be the Bridge, working towards racial reconciliation. And then in addition to our financial giving, we have looked for any opportunity that we could to serve our city. In the very beginning of the pandemic, we were a distribution center for District 6. Our city supervisor, Matt Haney, reached out and asked if Epic would become this central location where PPE and other cleaning supplies could be donated and then in turn distributed to organizations and to individuals in need. We've been able to serve hot meals with Mobilize Love. And then every week since March, when the shelter-in-place order went into effect, we have shown up every single week at the food pantry to staff it for Bessie Carmichael School. And it's just been so amazing to see our Epic volunteers show up every single Thursday morning. And throughout this 40 plus weeks, we've been able to distribute over 30,000 bags of groceries. Every single week, we're serving on average about 600 households. And so it's just been really incredible to see the way that Epic has served and supported our city as well during this time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so good. I also love what God has done in our church in regards to prayer. You guys have heard me say this before, but that prayer is not just one of the things that we do as a church, but it's the most important thing that we do as a church. And this season has allowed for opportunities in regards to prayer that wouldn't be possible in a normal season. You know, pre-COVID, we were gathering every Wednesday for years. I can't even remember when we started praying early mornings on Wednesday. A few people would show up for that. But here's the thing, guys. Ever since we moved our prayer gatherings to Zoom on Wednesday morning, on Sunday morning, and we even did a little bit on Thursday afternoon, we have had more than 50 unique individuals show up for prayer. And it's just been powerful. And that would not have been possible outside of this season. Someone who comes on a regular basis and participates and prays with us, the other day they were praying and just giving thanks to God. And they said this, God, I don't like why we have to pray over Zoom, but I'm thankful that we get to pray over Zoom. It's been a blessing to see those prayers be answered.
Yeah, that's been huge. And I also think about the fact that, you know, unfortunately, so many companies and organizations have had to downsize or file bankruptcy, or they just don't even exist anymore. And yet in this season, we've been able to add team members. We've added three team members in 2020. Seth Condry and his family moved here at the end of May. Seth is a world-renowned worship leader, and of course, it's crazy that he's been here 7 months and hasn't yet been able to lead our people, even though we were attempting that the first weekend of December. But that worship team has been expanding. Seth has been writing songs. He's been getting connected with people in the city who are musicians, and so we're just thrilled to have him here. And then Dan Hall moved back to San Francisco. Just so you know, he was with an NBA franchise, the Portland Trailblazers. We lured him away from the NBA. And so Dan, at the end of July, moved here with his new wife, Claire, who was also a part of our church previously. And Dan is our communications director, and he is just helping us keep all of you engaged, everyone in our church community. He's also helping us to reach lots of new people and figuring out the best pathways to do that, even as we want to regain some of the momentum and rebuilding our church in 2021. So we're looking forward to that. And then, of course, at the end of summer, Anthony Hudson became our new director to Epic Students, and that has been huge for our students. Will's going to say more about that in a moment. But you know what it's like when you're a part of a weak team, when you're a part of a mediocre team, or when you're part of a great team. And I even said to our staff team today, guys, I am so privileged to be a part of this team. When I look at the collective character and I look at the collective skills that our staff team possesses, it's super exciting to think about opening this next decade of Epic Church with this great team.
Yeah, I love our staff family so much. And welcoming these three, it's just been so much fun. And it's also allowed us to expand the impact that we can have as a church. And while none of us would have planned to be a digital-only church in 2020, we have been able to use technology to do so much, especially on Sundays. And we're having people tune in and watch from all across the United States and even around the world. And on Easter alone, we had 1,680 different devices tuning in and watching and experiencing Easter with us. And that is just incredible. Since then, we have added a 7:30 a.m. gathering. We've also been able to put all of our full-length gatherings on demand on our YouTube channel just to make it easy and accessible for other people to experience. We've been able to tell stories every single week using video, expand our presence on social media. And so huge thanks to our production and our creative team for making all of that possible.
Awesome.
Yeah. I want to give special thanks to our Epic Kids and Students teams. They've done an amazing job this year. Guys, we have all suffered disruptions this year, right? We would say that. But I believe it has impacted our kids the most and our students the most with not being able to see their peers on a regular basis, with online school and all the adjustments needed for that. But our teams here, they have just done an incredible job to provide what our kids and students need in this season in a safe way. And so Epic Kids, they've been producing a weekly video with lessons put together by lead teachers that many of your kids know. In the summer and in Halloween, they found a way to give these treat bags to the families, which is a fun little connection that they made there. And it's just been a blessing. And then our students, man, every week they've been gathering via Zoom. More than 20 students showing up. They have met up whenever it was possible and safe. They did a summer online camp. They've just gone above and beyond what was expected in order to help our families thrive. And I'm extremely grateful for each and every single one of them.
Yeah, well, and families thrive is one of our values. But another value we hold dearly here at Epic is this one: generosity overflows. Yeah. But in a year like 2020, as everyone knows, like, could that still be present? Could that still be true? Could we actually step up in generosity in ways we had previously? And we're here at the end of the year to say, absolutely. Yeah. Like, guys, listen to this. Our regular giving as a church actually is up a bit over the same time last year. That's incredible by itself. Additionally, over $1 million has been given this year to the Home Initiative. That means 3.5 of the 6.8 commitment has already been given with still two full years to go. And by the way, we are continuing to pray. We've actually seen in person a couple of buildings. No news to report or you would know about it. It's going to take, you know, quite a bit of searching and praying, but we're believing God for that next space. I've already told you about the generosity through the COVID relief fund. And all of you know we're in the middle of the Hope Project, which is just stunning to think about. Even in a year like this, that our church, through all of those different avenues, we will collectively give over $4 million this year. And so, of course, thank you, church. I'm grateful to God, and I'm grateful for the way that our people who have kept their jobs have leaned in, and many have doubled down on being generous this year. But it's my, you know, stats are huge. We've given a lot of stats. Here's what students have done. Here's the money. Here's, you know, how many people have been in groups, all of those things. But I think it's the stories that have captured our hearts the most. Which ones stand out to you?
Yeah, and you know, that leads us right into another value here. Together is better. And throughout this pandemic, I have been able to see people actually live this out in extraordinary ways. Someone shared that as their birthday approached, they just knew that this was going to be the worst birthday that they've ever had. And yet their group surprised them, showed up socially distant to go on walks, to hang out. And they ended up saying, this is the best birthday that I can ever remember. And then someone else ended up having to have an emergency appendectomy this year. And right away, the Epic community rushed in to take care of their kids and to provide meals for them. And then speaking of meals, this is crazy. Just this year, Epic has created at least 22 meal trains. Now, if you don't know what that is, meal trains provide food for people who might be in transitioning, welcoming a new family member, moving, or just going through a hard time. 22 meal trains. That sums up to about 550 meals that people in our community didn't have to worry about this year. And then I've personally experienced the heart and soul of this community this year. You guys know this, but in March, my dad finished his last round of chemo. And then it was just 2 weeks later that he tested positive and was diagnosed with COVID-19. And then it was just 10 days later that he died. And this was the most difficult time of my life so far. Not being able to be there, having to make difficult decisions over the phone. It was one of the hardest times of my life. And yet I could sense that God was with me, that he was with me every step of the way. And a big part of that was this Epic community. Yeah. It was this Epic community praying for me, reaching out to me, sending me messages, and then cards and meals and flowers just showing up on my doorstep. For me, it was this tangible reminder that I was not alone, that God was with me and his people were with me. And that just meant so much to me, and it's something that I'll never forget.
Yeah. Yeah, I truly believe that a great family and church is characterized by how they come around each other in both the tragedies and the victories. And that's what I've seen all year long. Whether it's the stories that Lindsay shared and the passing of her dad, or even how this community came around my wife, Bea, in July when she lost her sister and her uncle within 2 weeks of each other. The pain and the challenges of this season have been extreme and difficult, but we haven't been alone. And that's the hard part, but then you have the fun stuff when you get to celebrate with people when that job offer comes in just in time, or these dozen or so babies that have been born into our community. I'm telling you, you guys have been there for one another in the joys and in the sorrows, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, church, I just want you to know that it's been inspiring to me to watch the ways in which you've rallied around each other. And just a couple of stories. I could give you probably hundreds of stories, but let me just give you a couple of my favorites from this year. Will, you talked about how there can be this joy and sorrow. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I think about a young woman in our church who this year really has come to faith in Jesus. And about the same time all of that was kind of getting made concrete in her life, she was given an early diagnosis that seemed probable that she was sick with cancer. And so I remember joining their group, and their group got on Zoom all the time. A couple of times I was able to join their group and to be able to see that group rally around her, pray for her. And I'll never forget jumping on another Zoom call where they had this great relief that God had answered the prayers of the group, built her faith in the process, and that it wasn't cancer. However, she still had to have brain surgery in November. And it's incredible how God is even using that. She just texted me and let me know how much her community here has meant to her, and how it's building her faith in Jesus. And that was just an incredible story. Another story that comes to mind is you guys all know probably someone who has left San Francisco during 2020. We all know people. It's never easy. It always hurts when that happens, when it's people who mean a lot to us. But on the back end of one of those moves, I got a letter from another young woman in our church, and I want her. She thanked me for what our church had meant to her and her family, and then she said these words, and I want to read them to you because I think they're so inspiring to think about what we have done over these 10 years and what we are going to be doing in the future. She says, 10 years ago, you may never have imagined a 20-something-year-old writing to say thank you for saying yes to Epic Church so she could say yes to a personal relationship with Christ, yes to a public baptism, yes to her husband, and yes to her calling of arts ministry. But here's that email, smiley face. We are continuing to pray for Epic, the staff, and the leadership team because we know there's still so much more to do. And we will continue to fulfill our home commitment, Lord willing, because we know there are other 20-something-year-olds waiting to write this email 5 years down the line.
So good.
You know, we've talked a lot this year about even what we're saying right now, this theme of coexisting realities. Church, it's been an interesting journey for myself, for Lindsay and Will and I. We've journeyed personally together for a long, many years now, but this year has brought us closer, and it's done the same thing for our church community. But we've learned about these coexisting realities. We've discovered that loss can live with gain, that joy can mix with sorrow, and that hope can survive even in the midst of very severe trials. But I think what we've learned more than all of that is that no matter what did come or what will come, God is here. We are not alone. He is present. I think about that we have really lived into these words that God says in Isaiah verses 1 and 2 of chapter 43. Isaiah writes, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Listen, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." And here it is, 2020. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." God has been with us. He has never left us. And I believe that he's building something stronger in us that's going to bear way more fruit in the future than if we had not gone through a challenging year like 2020. And as I think about the future, you guys know this because we talk privately all the time, but as we think about the future, as we turn the page and open up 2021, Lindsay and Will, what are you guys excited about?
I'm excited for how we're going to start the year. We're going to start the year, church, with a series called Prepare the Way. And I truly believe that how you start something impacts how you finish. It's going to determine how you finish. And the reason I'm excited about this series is because it's about consecration. It's about asking God, "God, I'm going to position myself. I'm going to prepare myself for you to move in my life and through my life." And that's what we're going to do. And accompanying that series, we're going to do 21 days of fasting and prayer. That's going to start on January 10th. We're going to have a prayer guide for you to go through each day, a prayer entry. And I can't wait. I can't wait for us to step into the new year and to believe that God's going to bless 2021.
Absolutely.
Yes, there is so much to look forward to in 2021. Epic is going to be celebrating 10 years as a church all throughout the month of February. And so I'm personally really looking forward to that. We're going to have a chance to look back and just to remember and to consider and acknowledge all the ways that we've seen God at work in the last 10 years in this church, throughout this church, in our city. And then we're going to have a chance to turn and look ahead and to consider what God might want to do in the next 10 years. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And as we move into the future, we have a really fun surprise for you guys. As we head into this next decade, we are going with a brand new look here at Epic. So don't miss 2021.
I can't wait. There are so many things to be excited about, and I could tell you a bunch personally, but here's the big one for me. I'm looking forward to us relaunching this church. Not because we've gone anywhere, but just in terms of the public gathering, the chance to make this pronounced statement to our city that, hey, we are here, we have been here, we're not going anywhere. And, you know, so many people, many of you will tell me, "Ben, I wish I could have been there when the church started." And I'm like, "Really? Do you know what it was like to show up at the W Hotel at 6:30 in the morning?" Well, hey, if that is true, good news for you. You're going to get the chance to be on launch team number 2 because we've got to relaunch this thing. We've got to rebuild. We're going to regather. And so I want you to begin thinking, even right now, what part you will play. And even if you don't need to worry about the parts, would you just make a commitment that when it's time, I'm going to make the ask this year, when we make the ask, that you're ready to say yes to whatever God has for you. and you're ready to play your part, whatever that might mean, because there's too much at stake, and our mission matters more now than it ever has, and it has always mattered, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think about the prayer that Paul concludes Ephesians chapter 3 with, where he just says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Church, I want to say this from my heart as we get ready to close. We want to thank you for staying in it with us, for staying in the fight when it would have been easy to quit, or to walk away, or to move away, or to stop praying, or to stop spending time with God, or to stop inviting, or to stop serving, or to stop giving. You didn't. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you, even our global church all around, those of you in Canada and those of you in Ireland and those of you in Africa, it's just been incredible to see this thing go global. I want to thank all of you. And as we come to the end of this year, with just really a few days left of 2020, if Epic's been a blessing to you and you're able to, would you be willing to consider giving a year-end gift? I know many of you wait till this time every year, which that's awesome. But would you be willing to consider giving a year-end gift to position us for this mission that matters more than ever, that we might open up decade number two with a ton of spiritual momentum, ready to reach the city, ready to rebuild the city, and go after what God has for us? And as we've said all year, if there's a way we can meet your needs, even these last few days, we are so positioned to do that because of the generosity in our church. We're ready, but you just need to let us know, and we'll do everything we can to meet the needs that you have at this time. You know, there's a lot that we've sung this year, a lot that we've said, a lot that we've taught, but there's a song that I think that not only is it fun, but it really captures what we have discovered to be true, and it's called "Man of Your Word" that Seth's going to close with today after I pray. But I just love that. You guys know the bridge that gets all three of us fired up, that we have this confidence that he's going to finish what he started.
That's right.
We've made it through 2020, and we still believe the best is ahead. As I pray for us, really two themes emerge from this prayer. As we look back, a theme of gratitude and thankfulness, and as we look forward, this theme of anticipation and expectation. So would you pray with me, and let's give thanks and turn our sights on the future. God, you're so faithful. God, we had so many question marks about how we would get through this. God, we didn't know what it would mean for our staff. God, we didn't know what it would mean for our community. But you have held us. God, I'm so grateful for the men and women, the teenagers, the boys and girls who are still leaning in to their faith and to this community and to your purpose for our lives in this city. Thank you that you've built our faith, you've increased our joy, you've grown our confidence. And God, as we look forward, our dreams don't match yours. Our vision isn't where your vision is, so help us to get in line with what you have in mind. God, it is a privilege not even to lead, yes, to lead this community, but God, it is such a privilege for us to just be a part, to have this front row seat, to see what you're doing, even when a city, especially where our church is located, looks like it's non-existent. You're still at work. We're still sowing seed. There's still harvest coming, and we are looking so forward to the reaping. We thank you, and we look forward to what's ahead, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church Podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.